Welcome to another edition of 100% Canucks. John Shannon and Landon Ferraro, soon to be joined by Abbotsford Canucks head coach Manny Malhotra, who has just been given an extension on his contract. He's now, the Canucks exercise the option for the 26-27 season. So in many ways, they have cemented a great deal of their future with Ryan Johnson and Manny Malhotra with long-term contracts. Landon, you were around Manny down the stretch in Abbotsford last year. What exactly did he do and do so well for this team to be that successful?
I mean, I think with Manny, it all starts with his passion. Like, he's a guy that is always going to be prepared. He's excited to get to the rink. Even if you look at how he played the game to how he coaches, like, he's 100% behind his team. He's always going to put them before him. And I think especially dealing with younger players in the American League, like, that's a really big deal to them. Like, they understand that, you know, whether they've messed up or done something great, like, he's going to be right there to either pick them up or, you know, tell them they did a good job, but we can still keep building. They're still there. There's more to them. Like, he's just such a motivated individual. And, you know, I think watching them win and seeing, you know, guys are always excited and they give their coach a hug, whatever, but like the amount of extra time guys spent with him, you could tell how much he meant to that group and what a good job he did.
Communication obviously is his strength.
I think so. And it, like, I think
and it's I say communication over tactics.
But see, that's where I was just about to say, like, I think he has two real good strengths. It's his communication, but it's also like he's able to, and Ryan Johnson talked about this when he had him on, or when we had him on as well, of how good Manny is at adapting. And he doesn't always have to be right. He can understand when, okay, yeah, I made this decision, that's not working, I can change on the fly, I can make this work. I think those are, you know, the two ingredients that really set him up to succeed as a first-time head coach at a pro level.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've just been given notice. Manny's sitting in the waiting room, so we will get to Manny, ask him a few questions, we'll grill him, we'll make him feel a little uncomfortable. Just kidding. And we'll talk a little bit more about camp and what Manny brings to camp after we talk with the head coach of the Abbotsford Canucks, Manny Malhotra, on 100% Canucks after this.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it. And enjoy.
Pleased to be joined by Abbotsford head coach Manny Malhotra from Penticton. Okay, let's be honest. How's camp going? It's, I mean, it's all of 48 hours old. What's it like?
It's been good. It's always fun, the beginning of camp. Guys are so excited to get back to it. And you can see just how much they want to be around each other. So the energy has been good around here. The pace of practices have been good. So a good 2 days so far.
How has it changed from that first camp that you were with the Rangers in 98? I mean, everything is, and the game is so much different, I think, in that period of time too, but what's changed for you in that period of time?
I think the biggest thing would be the amount of teaching that goes on in camp. We were just discussing it a couple of days ago that camp used to be 2, 3, 4 weeks long, and you had a lot of time to build up and teach what you wanted to implement systems wise. Whereas now it's, you know, 2 or 3 days, you hit the ground running, you're right into exhibition game. So I find that with camps nowadays, there's just more teaching that goes into the day.
Now, when you say teaching, are we talking you know, what your regular game plan is? We're not teaching these guys how to shoot the puck. I mean, what are we teaching them?
No, sorry. Just more implementing of system.
The system? Okay.
Yeah, and this is our forecheck. This is our neutral. This is our D-zone coverage and running through those repetitions. These are some of our habits. These are our traits. These are our offensive principles. All those things just – they need to be hammered home right away. So there's obviously a video component to that, just making sure guys visually see what they want it to look like. And then a lot of the drills are obviously based off of those systems. It's not, whereas in the past, you know, it was more of a mindset of, you know, we will scrimmage and we'll skate it out of them and we'll build our aerobic capacity. And then later on down the road, we'll start to teach a little bit more system stuff.
So, you know, I'm curious about the difference of, you know, when you're a player going into a camp and when you're a coach going into a camp. Like, you know, I'm not going to speak for you, but I imagine you had that nervous energy going in, like the excitement of camp when you're a player. Now, when you're on the coaching side, like, what is the feeling of, you know, making sure you're prepared and all of that? But like, what is your thought process going into a camp now?
So there's similar but different in terms of the nerves that you have leading up to camp. You'll attest to it. The nerves of first day of testing as a player, you just want to get it over with. You want to do well. You want to show that you've had a good summer of training. So that was always the most nerve-wracking part. And then the excitement of just getting on the ice and playing. So there was the two emotions as a player. As a coach, it's nerve-wracking in the sense that, as I spoke to before, you want to be able to teach and implement systems as quick as possible. And you have to figure out what's the best way to do that. What's the best piece of video to show? When is the right time to introduce it? What day should we do these things on? So just the mapping out and planning of, number one, the number of guys that you have in camp and obviously trying to come up with different line combinations and D pairings and who's going to play well with who, all those types of things. You're just constantly thinking about the details that go into it. So you get nervous all the same, just a different kind of nervous.
Of course, this is the last year of fitness testing and with the new CBA. But realistically, Manny, fitness testing is moot now when you consider how well trained and how planned and prepared the players are, aren't they?
Yeah, I thought about this last few years. It's almost like we have to do away with the name training camp, because if you talk to the older generation of NHL, training camp was when you came in to start getting in shape and start skating and lose all the rust and everything. Whereas today's NHL player, they've been, you know, they took their few weeks off. They've been in the gym, they've been skating, they've been doing their power skating. They're working with their skills coaches, they're shooting pucks. So to call this a training camp is a little bit outdated for me. These guys come in phenomenal shape. And as I said before, in 3 days, they're playing an NHL game. So they have to be physically ready to go.
Difference between a Rick Tocchet camp and an Adam Foote camp. Can you measure it?
Not so much. Like I said, NHL camps are very similar in that regard. There's a lot of teaching that goes on. You want to show the right video. Yeah, so it's hard to judge one camp to the next.
How well did you know Adam before this summer?
We played together in Columbus.
Okay,
so he was our captain in Columbus. So I played a season, maybe two, with him. Got to know him really well, know what he's about, and know the type of career he had. So we have a relationship prior to being in Vancouver.
You know, I was at camp in 2019-2020 season when you're an assistant with Vancouver. And I mean, I wasn't surprised. I had been around you training a bit. We've skated together in the past. Like I knew what you were about, but I was still really impressed with how you ran meetings and carried yourself and spoke with all us players. From that point to now, you're, you know, 6 years later, 7 years later, and you've now been a head coach at the American League level. Like, where do you think your biggest growth has come, and where, like, who did you learn from the most, do you think, over that time period?
I've always said my coaching style is kind of a collection of everything that I've gone through my career, playing for different coaches, working with different coaches. It's constantly a learning process of what you like, what you don't like, different verbiages, how to teach certain things, different systems. So I think I'm a collection of a lot of the coaches that I've played for. And to your point about presenting meetings and carrying yourself, I think that's one of the biggest parts of being comfortable in this role as a head coach and being able to deliver your message with the understanding that everybody learns different. And, you know, some guys are visual learners. They need to see the right video. Some guys, you just need to tell them. Some guys, you need to draw it on a whiteboard. So just that was one of my biggest areas of growth, was how to get my message across to everybody, knowing that everybody's going to receive the information differently.
So how the extension this summer, did it come as a surprise to you, or is this something that you had hoped would happen? And I haven't heard you comment on it at all when the Canucks announced that you've been extended through 27.
Yeah, it was a club option. So obviously it's always nice to have job security. And obviously you never want to be, working on the last year of your deal with nothing at the end of it. So, we're extremely happy to have gotten the extension. For me, it's a reflection of the job that our staff did. I was very fortunate last year to have the staff that we do and currently still have. The work that they put in, and all of us being a rookie staff, so to speak, with only Jordan Smith having experience in the American League, not knowing what to expect going into it. Our staff did a phenomenal job of just kind of adapting to different situations. And Lando, you can attest to that the American Hockey League is constant change. Lineups change, injuries, call-ups, call-downs. So the ability to stay on your toes and make quick decisions was great. So the extension is really nice to have, and really happy to be a part of this organization.
So I'm curious, how would, now that you've had a summer to enjoy the Calder Cup, how would you describe the journey you had last year?
That's the perfect word for it, is a journey. The evolution of a team is something really special to watch, especially from the inside. And as you're going through it, through the course of the season, it's hard to see the forest for the trees kind of thing. You're the day-to-day grind of it, and going through practices and teaching and learning and showing video. It's nice to see it all come to fruition at the end, and it came together at the right time, and guys started clicking at the right time. So to see the growth and the journey we took as a group, whereas, you know, the beginning of the season, there's a lot of mistakes being made. So to try to correct those. And then as the season goes on, you establish what your identity is. And as we came down the stretch, the fact that the guys were completely bought into what we were doing was the biggest factor in our success.
You know, when RJ was on here, he talked about a weekend in Laval that was kind of a make or break time for you guys. So, you know, the games did not go well. The guys ended up having a players only meeting. You guys, the coaching staff and management, had a pretty emotional talk as well. Like, what was in your mind, like, what was the turning point? What did the guys learn? What did you learn out of that really set you guys on the path to the Calder Cup months later?
There's a number of factors there. For me, the players only meeting, I've never asked the guys what was said in there. No one's ever told me what was said. Whatever and whoever said it, they got the message across. And it was at that point where, again, not knowing what they said, but the response to that weekend, what it looked like for me from the way they practiced to the way they competed in practice, the way that we prepared to the way we, you know, just our overall outlook on the game, was that what we have been doing is not good enough, and we need to get better in every area. And from that weekend on, that was kind of base camp. That was rock bottom, and then we built it and we built it. We built our identity. We built our structure. And that word again comes back to the buy-in of the guys. They were fully committed to whatever we asked them to do. And then by the time the playoffs rolled around, it was all about them. They were policing each other. They were the ones telling each other, this play has to be made. They were the ones telling each other, you need to be more physical there. They were the ones getting excited when a guy would block a shot. It was almost like, oh, you're going to block a shot? I'm going to block the next one. You know, and everybody was willing to do their part.
And now that you've had, you know, the summer to reflect, you know, like, again, just being around you, I know, like, you're a really prideful guy. Like, you take your job serious and you care about what you do. Watching your team go from that point to where they got to, like, is that kind of, you know, the best part of your job now, is like having that pride and seeing what that group was able to do?
Yeah, you can equate it to even parenthood, where you watch your kids grow and you watch them mature and become young adults. For me, watching our group from where we were at the beginning of the year, they matured so much as players and as teams. And yeah, to see the way they grew and the way the leadership, it wasn't one guy pounding a drum. It was everybody was doing it. So just to see their growth as individuals, as leaders, as hockey players, as a culture, as seeing the way we wanted it done and them adhering to it was a pretty special thing to watch. And it really wasn't until the summertime where you get a chance to pick your head up and analyze what just happened. And it was, yeah, there was a lot of moments throughout the course of the year that you can look back to and say, well, that was a very special moment to see that growth in that player.
How much of that and that approach comes from your own playing career? And I say this respectfully, Manny, as a first round draft pick, you took time to develop as a pro. It took you a while to understand the ins and outs of being an NHLer. And you're now in a position of being in the development side of the club, having to be, I assume, patient with that.
Yeah, I would say that a major asset for me is the fact that I have perspective on that. And one of the things that we teach or we talk to our guys about in terms of becoming a good pro and understanding what it takes to become a pro and evolving your game, it's having an understanding of what your game is. And all these guys at one point or another in their career have been the man. Mm-hmm. They've been the power play guy. They've been the first over the boards. They've been the most minutes on their team. They get the most points. Whereas once you get to the pro level, not everybody's going to be the man. It takes certain roles to be fulfilled. And the guys that figure it out and have a pro career are the ones that can evolve their game. Okay, I scored, this is not myself, but the mentality of, okay, I scored 50 goals in junior. I'm not going to score 50 goals at the pro level, but I need to do X, Y, and Z really, really well. And that was one thing I saw from our group last year, was an evolution in their game in terms of not equating playing well with getting points. And we told them, we don't care if you get points. We don't care who scores the goal, as long as we're getting it as a team. And if you look at our group statistically, we did everything by committee. Our goal scoring was really spread out. You know, there was no one person or one line that jumped off the page in our goal scoring. But yeah, just the ability to have that perspective of helping the guys to understand what is going to allow them to have a pro career. It was something that took me a while to figure out as well.
The how do you balance success in Abbotsford or lack of success in Abbotsford for making sure that the big club is better off with the players that you have helped along the way? How do you, because you may not win in Abbotsford, but the player may be better for the team in Vancouver.
Yeah, that's part of our role in the AHL is it's kind of the mandate, is to develop players that can help the Vancouver Canucks win. And there are a lot of times where they will pull players from us in critical moments, and that's fine, because we feel we have the depth and that next man up mentality got us through a lot of patches throughout the season last year where Vancouver called up a number of key players. And again, that's part of the balancing act for us, is that we want players to develop. We want them to get their minutes. We want them to get their touches, but not at the sacrifice of our team concept. And there's a valuable lesson to be learned there for those young guys that, you know, it does matter how you play, whether you're going to be in the lineup or not. And again, it comes back to the ability to have the depth that we do to say, hey, your game's not up to par right now. You're going to come out, you can watch the games, analyze what it looks like. And then once you get another chance to get back in there, you make the most of it. You know, a perfect example of that is John Lekkermäki last year in the playoffs. He wasn't quite playing like himself. He sat a couple of games, came back, and he looked like John Lekkermäki that we expect. So the response of the guys was good in that situation, but that just part and parcel with this role at the AHL level.
Now, on the topic of development, and now you're a couple days into camp here, like there's a few guys from your team last year that really have a good chance of making the opening night roster, you know, Carlson or a Baines or Assassin, Lekkermäki's getting a look in the top six, Ratu. Where do they look right now? I know it's only a couple of days, but from the end of the season, playoffs last year to now, like, do they look like they've, you know, really taken another step and not have that understanding of, like, I got a real opportunity in front of me here?
Yeah, just looking at them, you said it. So it's only 2 days of camp. But given the short summers that they had, to the best of my knowledge, they went right back into the gym and they've been training hard. And you can see that on the ice. They're playing with some great jump. They look sharp on the ice, and they have that look that they want to make some noise here and want to create some difficult decisions.
I'm curious about a guy like Victor Mancini, who came over in the Miller trade. Where do you see him fitting in? I assume on the big club, but he seems to have a lot of upside either in Abbotsford or in Vancouver.
Yeah, where he would fit in Vancouver is not for me to say.
Right.
You know, that would be a Patrick and Footer question. What I can tell you is,
I would assume they'd ask your opinion, though.
Yeah, yeah. What I would tell you, and I would tell them, is like, he obviously has a great toolbox. He has the size. His skating ability to get around the rink is really good. His reach is good. He can play a physical game. He has some finesse with the puck. For me, it would come back to him having a firm grasp of who he's going to be as a pro, and just knowing that just because you have the offensive upside doesn't mean it has to be on display at all times. But he has a great set of skills, a great set of attributes as a pro hockey player. For me, it would be now him understanding his identity as a player and putting it together.
You know, again, like, now looking into the season getting going, and you guys will be, you know, getting moving in your camp in Abbotsford and in a little bit of time here, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, you win a championship last year, but the whole goal is you want to see guys graduate and not be back. And now you have the whole new crop coming in. Is it, do you just try and replicate, or are you constantly trying to build and get better and give a better, you know, system or setup for the guys? You know, like, where does that mindset kind of start rolling from?
Well, I think the biggest part of our mindset, and it starts right with RJ, his philosophies and his ideas, and I'm completely in agreement with it, is that this is a brand new team coming in. Yes, we're happy and excited about what we did last year, but we turn the page and we focus on this new team. It's a lot of new faces, a lot of new bodies. So our focus is to, once again, build the foundational pieces, and yes, replicate certain things. What we saw worked. We have to build and evolve as a group. In terms of our messaging and how we teach, we need to be better coaches in terms of how we teach it and how quickly we can get to looking like the team we want to be. But our whole mindset is all about, you know, that first day of camp. We need to have a really good first day of camp to be able to build off of that. So that's been my focus. Our coaching staff focus is that when we do have a better understanding of the numbers we're getting and who we're getting, that we are a brand new team and we have to do all the things right from ground zero to make ourselves successful.
No, and I'm curious about this, just being around your group at the end of the playoffs there and seeing how really like integrated your coaching staff was with the players. Like it never felt like a guy was like, ah, crap, I'm stuck in the elevator with Manny. Like, I don't want to be in this position. Like everyone seemed to really be tight. Like, was it something that you talked to your coaching staff about at the beginning of the year of, you know, I want to see you guys in the gym and be around the guys. I want you to kind of be an example as well, because again, like you guys were such a tight knit group. Like that can't just happen by accident.
No, I will say that we, as a staff, we genuinely enjoy each other's company and then we have a lot of laughs. We have a good time together. But I think it's a part of our personalities. You know, if you look at Justin Pogge, a very talkative, chatty guy, Smitty, same thing, Harry Mahesh, Andrew Shaw, like very personable people that enjoy people. And for me, that's a big part of being able to help these guys is garnering a relationship with them so that when you have to have those tough conversations and when you have to crack the whip and you're coming down hard on them, that it's not from a place of negativity. It's not from a place of, Smitty hates me. He gave me crap and he showed me video. It's from a place of genuine caring for the guys and wanting to see them do better. So yeah, those relationships were very genuine and very much a part of who we are as a group, is that we want those tight relationships with our players, knowing that wanting them to know that we have their back and best interests at heart.
Might the biggest challenge be, Manny, that the players that you're going to inherit in the next 2 weeks don't want to be in Abbotsford, and how you manage that?
Yeah, that's one of our talking points on day one. We are very aware that the American Hockey League is your second option and nobody wants to be there. Everybody wants to take that next step and get to the National Hockey League. And I'm fine with that. It's understood. And that's one of the things I love about the American League, is that you are constantly surrounded by people that want to get better and want to improve and they want to enhance their career and make the next step. So that in itself is great. The message from us is that the only way to change your circumstances is to be focused and have your head and your heart where your feet are. If you're in Abbotsford, you're going to be the best Abbotsford Canuck you can. You work on your game with the hopes and the mindset that working on your game will get you to that next level. It's not about, and a prime example of that is the amount of guys that we had come up and down last year. When they came down, you didn't see guys moping around the room and, oh, woe is me, why did I get sent down? It was, they understood that it's a process. They'd been given the instruction on what they need to work on, and they came and implemented that in practice. And you could see almost the exact opposite effect of that, is like they were more driven to be better and harder and hungrier and get back to the NHL level. So it's understood in our room that, yeah, the American League is option B, but when you're in the American League, you make the most of that opportunity.
When do you get your Calder Cup ring?
I have no idea.
Listen, we appreciate the time. I know it's a busy time in Penticton. I just wish we were all there enjoying the weather and the wine.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Pleasure being here.
Manny Malhotra, head coach of the Abbotsford Canucks. Landon and I will be back after this on 100% Canucks. So, Landon, anything Manny say surprise you?
Not really in a good way. I think the thing that I don't want to say, like, I knew coming into this interview, but it still blows me away just knowing Manny a little bit, is nothing catches him off guard. Like any question, any situation, like he's so prepared for everything. And it's not him being overprepared and like has to be a controlling person. But again, how he talks about his players, how he talks about dealing with them, like he cares and he wants to make sure that he's doing the best possible job for them. Like, yes, he has goals and aspirations for himself, but you know, to hear him talk about his players is like, it's kind of like his kids to see them mature through the year. And, you know, just that type of, I mean, he uses the word like, you know, having the right verbiage, like he has it and you can tell how much it paid off last year. Like that group was, you know, pretty green and there was some standouts and guys that really needed to take steps when that year started. And his group, his coaching staff really kind of nurtured them along and were hard when they needed to be, but you saw where they got to. And now the Vancouver Canucks as an organization are better off for it.
I'll tell you what, he sounded so buttoned down, so controlled. I mean, if he was standing in front of you in a meeting, you couldn't help but be glued to every word that he says. And he seemed, you know, and let's say his own personal journey of being a pro player is an amazing one when you consider, like, there was a time when he was with the New York Rangers that he was viewed as a bust, an absolute bust as the seventh overall pick. And it took almost a decade for him to get to the point where he could be a contributor. And he talked about, you know, not being a great, you know, junior players who were great scorers having to change the game. He was one of those guys. He wasn't a great scorer in junior hockey, but he had to change his game in order to stay in the league. And he's a great example of adapting to the situation. And then you go with, you know, let's face it, the eye injury was a huge issue for him that he's overcome. And to me, he's as impressive as you're going to hear anybody talk about the game of hockey right now. There's little doubt in my mind, and if I was a betting man, I would go to Vegas. There's little doubt in my mind that at some point in the future, Manny Malhotra will be a head coach in the National Hockey League. Do you have any doubt?
No doubt at all. And I think, like, as you're talking about, like, him as that first rounder, seventh overall, and kind of being viewed as a bust, like resiliency, like think about who was on that team at that time. You're talking Gretzky, Leach, Nedved, Kovalev, Richter's the goalie, like legends of the game. And you're that young kid coming in. You're like, okay, I'm going to be that next big piece. And it doesn't really go to plan yet again. And it transfers to how he coaches, but it's him just having so much pride and courage in the way that he carries himself. Like, you know, you hear the line the guys use as they talk about a coach, like, you know, I'd run through a wall for that guy. You have a 3-minute conversation with Manny, like face to face, and you feel the intensity that he brings, but not in an overwhelming way, but in a way that before you even know it, you're like, I can do better. Like I can show him that I can be better. And that's a characteristic for a coach that can take him a long way.
The preseason starts Sunday with a game in Seattle, then Calgary, Seattle again, and then Edmonton by the weekend. What should fans take out of any of these games at any point, seriously?
I mean, it's tough, right? Like, it's such a short camp. Like, you know, you have to, it's not like it used to be where you had a bit of run up before preseason games started. You could kind of get back to that level. Like, guys are expected to show up day one and be ready to go because that first preseason game's coming fast. And, you know, if you're a veteran, yeah, you know, okay, like I got a couple games to kind of get myself ready and really be pushing for the season. But, you know, the Canucks are going to need a couple of the young players to really kind of grab the reins and show that they belong. So, you know, you need to you don't need to, but you're going to be watching how the young players that are getting opportunity, Lekker Mäki gets put with a couple good wingers or center with Hedl and Evander Kane on day one. Like, he's getting a chance in the top six. Carlson's going to have an opportunity. Like, these guys need to be able to really grab the reins. But at the same time, if they bobble a puck here or there, that doesn't mean that they can't make it at this level. It is very early, but you know, like it is a business of what have you done for me lately, not the past, right? So mm-hmm. You know, it is important to get off to a quick start.
If you're a betting man, how many of these kids that were in Abbotsford will be on the big team roster when the season starts? Carlson, for sure, I think, right?
I think Carlson's the real safe bet. You know, you'd think that Ratu's going to be in there because they need that center, and like he can take, you know, he does that flip on his face off so that he can take draws on the right side. So that's going to be a really big piece. You know, and then one, maybe two on the back end. But at the same time, you have guys that are waiver eligible. Or waiver exempt. So, you know, that makes it a bit harder to stay at the beginning of the year. And you want to be able to fly some of those guys through when a lot of guys are going on. So, you know, I'd expect three or four of them to be there. But again, I think it's going to be a lot like last year, not in the whole grand scheme of last year, but the Canucks, just like every other NHL team, are going to need multiple players from that Abbotsford roster to not just come fill a hole here and there, but to be a real piece of this team at different points.
Before we let you go, your reaction to Adam, Jim, and Patrick and the press conference before they went to Penticton. Thoughts?
You know, I like hearing the way that Adam Foote talks about how he's going to go at the season, how he's already been in constant contact with players. And from, you know, I'm in Vancouver, I'm not up in Penticton right now, but seeing the reports, reading articles, following along as closely as I can, everything that he kind of talked about, like, they hit the ground running on day one. He's not wasting a single moment. And, you know, for the rest of it, you know, Patrick and Jim talking about, like, you know, we weren't able to go get that second line center that we talked about in our year-end press conference, but we weren't going to overpay to make that happen. That's something that we can keep working on. We want to see what we have internally here. We just talked about guys from Abbotsford. Like, can some of those players elevate their game? And before you know it, well, we don't need to go burn extra assets because we have things already that can make this work.
And the Quinn Hughes distraction?
I mean,
distraction go away? Can it go away?
I think it's one of those things where it's more of a distraction for us media guys and the fans. I think the players understand that regardless of what his decision is going to be next summer, the year after, they need to win hockey games now. And it's not winning to keep, you know, the guys in the room aren't going to be thinking, okay, we need to win now so that Quinn stays. It's, we need to win because it's good for our team and for your own personal career. And so I think that's something that, other than us guys asking players, it's not really going to be a thing in the locker room, where when you're in that bubble, you can kind of push it aside and just focus on the job at hand.
Well, it will be fascinating to watch. You know, there is a little bit of, I don't think it's irony, but I'll find the word one day, that we're talking about Quinn Hughes 2 years away from leaving, as opposed to Connor McDavid, Kyle Connor, Jack Eichel, and Kirill Kaprizov, who are in their last year of contracts. But it is Vancouver, and there is always something to discuss, and it will be fascinating to see what happens. The one thing I would say is, and I've said this on a couple of shows in Vancouver last week, is Jim Rutherford's transparency is always so much fun. And he understands and he can communicate. And yes, it's frustrating. Yes, last year was frustrating, but know full well that this team is not trying to bullshit you, and they are trying their best in order to make the team better. And one way or the other, you will hear the truth from Jim Rutherford. Thanks for this, Landon.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
Have a great weekend, folks. Thanks for listening and watching 100% Canucks.